Hello, got my cup of coffee. So I'm ready to review HBO's Lovecraft Country, episode one. We're in season one. I'm trying to see where I'm gonna begin. I'm gonna take it as the show gave it to us and try to do it that way. Might get a little sidetracked by giving in some information, but hopefully that's cool, okay? This touches on the H.P. Lovecraft written works. For those who are unfamiliar, those were works, they were racist, narrow-minded. They cast in the particular literature are Caucasian individuals, and I like how this particular TV series spins on that by using African American characters for the lead roles. Okay, this show is from the namesake of the 2016 novel Lovecraft Country by Matt Ruff. So this is a great adaptation, okay? Got great producers on this one. This one, Misha Green, J.J. Adams, and Jordan Peele. I'm here. But if you were to read any of those, it's all with Caucasian characters, okay? So, this is actually great, okay? And I think about around that time it was called Weird Fiction, but we label it Pulp Fiction. But this particular TV series gives you sci-fi, weird horror. So I would hope you would like to tune in and tune into this. This is an awesome show. This is what I'm reviewing now. The pilot is awesome. It's called Sundown. So we get they had the Atticus Tick Turner, who's the protagonist of Lovecraft in the story. But we have Atticus Tick Freeman in the TV series. Okay, so I like how they pretty much kept with the story for the most part. For the most part, except for I think it was if I remember correctly, the cousin who's Diana Freeman in the TV series. Name was something else in the book, and it was a male child. Okay, we're introduced to Atticus Tick Freeman in a dream sequence. It's a black and white scene of Tick in the trenches fighting. You notice there are different races in there, and it's like no one is concerned or cares. You're fighting with your teammates for a bigger good. And based off of the previews or the trailer for the series, I'm gathering from 1950s on back, I'm thinking, you know, this has to be the Korean War. That's the only war I could think that would make sense during that little time period. Okay, then we morph out of those trenches and we see this like sci-fi fiesta of colors. You see flying saucers. You got creatures crawling. A red woman coming out of a spaceship. She walks up walks up to Tick and says something in a language. This does take on what we know now is the Tshulu mythos. So it has that vibe to it. Okay. And the woman, I guess she is like warning about a threat of the rising Tshulu. Then we see this elder god coming. I'm going to take this, the elder gods with all the tentacle, the mouth. He's coming toward them and then gets whoosh, smashed with a bat. And who is holding the bat? None other than Jackie Robinson. And after he gets mad, he comes and has a few words with Tick. So I'm thinking Tick is all on the inside, just a little giddy. Then he wakes up. Okay. And in real life, because as I said, that was the dream sequence. In real life, Tick is on the back of this bus. What might be what they had is a Greyhound back then in that time period. As the bus, it crosses a bridge after a dead race is in Kentucky. And then you see him flipping it, flipping the bird as a final look farewell to Jim Crow South. But you know, I knew that was too good to be true. A little after he done flipped the bird over this last little bridge in Kentucky, the bus breaks down. Remember, he's not completely out of the South, okay? So the bus breaks down. The bus driver gets confirmation, try to get them away. And we view that the bus is separated. They have it says whites only, and then it has coloreds. The coloreds are in the back. Atticus, or let me call him Tick. Tick is sitting with another woman of African American descent. So those are only two in the back of the bus. Okay. So the bus, like I said, breaks down. Everybody exit the bus. Then you see Tick sitting on the side reading. The book he is reading is a Princess of Mars. They showed it in the clip before, but probably couldn't see. But you could see it as he was reading. It had it angled so that the camera showed that we saw that he was reading a Princess of Mars. So now I was like, okay, that explains the red woman in the dream. Okay. A Princess of Mars is by Edgar Rice Burroughs, which, you know, I said give way to the dream. Okay. Okay, help arrives, a truck comes up, and they begin to load the passengers on. The little man who's driving the truck is Caucasian, came round back looking, and from my view, I could see from the TV screen that vibe was like, no Negroes allowed on this bus, this. But they was getting in the back of looked like a little chicken truck, like it had hay or something already had been in it, probably some manure. So, me being me, I wouldn't want to get on it anyway. But the lady gets her bags. She has a lot of bags, so Tig helps her with the bag, helps her, and then we see them walking. And this scene, it works on multiple levels, okay? The dream sequence gives us insight on who Tick is. Like I said, he's the war veteran. And he's surrounded by all these things. He doesn't know what's going on, what to fight against, he's really confused out here. Then he gets into the hopes and fears, and then we see how he sees himself or rather how he wants to be seen, okay? Wants to be seen as this hero. That's why you have the red woman coming to talk to him. That's of importance. She comes and talks. Then you have Jackie Robinson coming and giving word. Okay, so he, you know, that's giving you that. And then we see the setting of it. It's in the South, but you know, and it's not, you know, this isn't a county lane. You know, they're racist. They stay behind. That, you know, once you cross, you're safe. You saw that with the bus. He crossed over, but he saw that guy getting out that truck was not too happy. So you're not ever out of the woods, I guess, in that time period. You went out of the woods no matter where you went. I guess he thought being at the South was going to be all good and gravy. No, sir. It was very soupy and watery. Okay. Then we get to him finally making it home. Okay. Oh, let me get to a little, the part with the, they were walking after they did not get on the truck. The transportation that was provided. This lady asked him what he was reading, and you know, he said about John Carter, and she was like, "Isn't that a Confederate?" He had to put ex-Confederate. I don't know what that means, but I was with the lady in that moment. But then he summed it up. It was like, loving them doesn't mean they're perfect. You just try to cherish them, overlook their flaws, okay? And he was telling her how he used literature as a method of escape. And I guess as he got older, the army seemed like his escape. And all he was trying to do was escape his father, okay? Which we learned later on that he was abusive. So he's trying to escape his father. And so the books did owe so much, but the war, be it away, the tours or whatever, gave him, you know, the real escape. But he's back because his father, we learn, has been missing, went missing. So he's back to try to find his father. Okay. So. Yeah. And that's what they were talking about as they walked their windy road to Chicago. Now back, let me get back. He's on the south side of Chicago. Basically, okay, you know, most people, if you're from Chicago, you kind of know the different sides by the building, the make, and everything. So from this scene, I was like, okay, south side of Chicago, okay, where he's reunited with his Uncle George Freeman on Hippolyta. I love her name, it's Greek, okay. cousin Diana, and so he gets a good reunion, and I guess they get to talking. He first meets the cousin Diana as he climbs through the window. She sees him after Miss Diana, her parents had to they just couldn't wait. They got tired of messing around in dark. They got them some daylight stuff going on. So she ended up going to the other room, which I'm assuming is maybe the kitchen area, dining area. So Tick comes through the window, they greet and everything, and then you have Uncle George and Aunt Hippolyta coming out to find out what the noise and what's going on and everything, only to see Tick. So it was a good reunion. They go to where the Green Book, Uncle George does the Green Book. African Americans know that as a mode, a means of traveling. Safe travels, so that it detailed where you could go, where you could not go, some safe places as you travel, places that was sundown, places of certain death. It was all detailed in this, in the green book, for Negro travel. Okay. So Aunt Hippolyta wanted to do all that, but I guess he not feeling safe with that. Uncle George not feeling it. He wasn't feeling it at all. Okay. So, they get to talking in this particular, I guess it's a bookstore. And Tick picks up this book. They talk a little bit more. He picks up this book that says The Outsiders and the Others. It's also a Lovecraft literature writing. So when he looks on the side, it says Arkham illustrations. And I'm like, when I saw Arkham, y'all, I really did think of Gotham. But this, I just thought Batman. I just went all Batman here. But I'm thinking about that Arkham Asylum and everything. But no, okay, it was Arkham illustrations. And I guess he discussed it with his uncle. He said he got a letter. He was like, his dad never wrote or anything, but to tell him that had that one letter. So as they were reading it, they put it up to this light, and they were talking about that we find out the dad's name is Montrose Freeman. Okay, Montrose was not in this particular episode; just his name was mentioned a few times. Okay, so they get up under this light, looks like a big old lamp, to try to see. He was like, that's not Arkham. That's Artem. Him and that funny writing. Okay, so they make he wants to go to Artem, Massachusetts to find his father. And then we have Uncle George. He want to go tag along so he can finish up, you know, his books. And his other Negro travel book, which he authored. They get prepared. I guess he goes to the bar, goes checking in. You know, I guess he's asking questions. Someone says he left in a vehicle, a high class vehicle. So I'm taking it that the Caucasians had, you know, expensive vehicles more so rather than the African American. Okay. So they tell him he left and they don't know no more than that. He meets up with someone. He leaves the bar. There's fire hydrants that are that are letting out water throughout the street. There are people dancing and just having a great time. So I was enjoying this thing. I was living for this thing. I loved every part of it. The lights, the children laughing, people having a great time. That was just it was joyous. I really enjoyed that little part. Then we see Ruby on a stage, singing a song, and then as she is singing, all their dancing and everything, we meet our other character, Letitia Lewis. Okay. Letitia comes and I guess she does a request for a song. Well, first the song that Ruby was initially singing was I Want a Tall Skinny Pop. if you all are familiar with Sister Rosetta Tharpe. Then we get Letty. She's called Letty, Letitia Lewis. Letty requests is a whole lot of shaking going on. She's like, what song? Ruby was like, what song y'all want to hear? She was like, a whole lot of shaking going on. Okay. And that was by Dave, Curly Williams song. And so, you know, they do that together. And you see a little mic fighting. And, you know, I guess so, you know, we can see from that little tension on the stage that they get along as well as you, as well as others might think. But there was something deeper on the surface. So we get Atticus, he walking in and everything, walking still in the neighborhood and everything. So like I said, it was just, y'all, it was Black Joy. I really loved it. I really loved that part. Then we get Ruby, another take. This is Ruby and Letty having a conversation. And from this conversation, it's like Ruby was calling Letty like a user. She only come back when it's convenient. And something about the house. She was trying to find somewhere to stay for a little while. And I guess the house was like about. So I figured that I guess the mom passed from this conversation. And so she was like, since when? When mama died? I was like, oh. So I was like, wait a minute, wait. Okay. But we get, and then they look and then they see Atticus. And I'm like, who is that? And Ruby was like, it's Atticus, Tick. And she was like with the big glasses and everything. I guess literally like he had a glow up. So I take it they probably was some kind of friends or some sort, or maybe they went to school together. She was like with big glasses and stuff. That was a glow up, honey. We go to another scene, I guess. Uncle George and Aunt Hippolyta talking and everything. Looking at pictures and everything about the Green Book. They got something with the deal with a black man. I just assumed this was death. So I'm like, you go there, you are certain to die. And they like, well, people about you certain to die. So I was just looking. It was like a little different drawings throughout. You had some clans drawing, different drawings on this particular road map. And they're loading up. You see Letty loading something. I was like, girl, you just had to catch a ride. But y'all, it's amazing though. So Letty packing up, everybody getting ready to go. There's Uncle George, there's Tick, and there's Letty. All three of them finna go find Arden, Massachusetts, and see what's up. What's really going on, okay? So, as they going back, they going through, riding around, Uncle George mentions this particular place that they can go eat. So, they pull up to this particular place, and when this lady saw the Caucasian lady walk past, she done with her eyes and made her a little snide remark. They go in, and it's a Caucasian guy sitting on a bar stool. I guess he was being served, and there's another younger Caucasian male behind that was serving, and I guess maybe they were talking or whatever. So both of them looking like, what are y'all doing here? So they was like, we're going to seat ourselves. I was like, Uncle George, how long ago did they tell you that this was a safe spot? They sitting and Letty has to go to the bathroom. So she excused herself from the table. You have a Tick and Uncle George sitting at the table. And Tick is looking at the wall and was like, why is the White House white? And I was looking, I was like, no, when things burn down, they do rebuild and put make it white. I said, huh. So there was a little, you know, suspect right there. He slides the tile on the floor over, and you see that it reveals like some bare, like wood, old wood. It's like, I don't know, the building was just like a cover up of something. Then we have a split scene with Letty eavesdropping on the guy on the phone. Like, I didn't serve them, I didn't do anything. He's like, yeah, I knew what you did to Lydia. Letty was like, huh, heels, short skirts and all. She ran out there and told him they got to get out of there. Uncle George knees locking up and stuff. So Tig helping him, they finally get in the car. And as they round the corner, there's some people in the truck with the guns on top, shooting some Caucasian men just shoot. It turns into a shooting race and everything, and they hidden bending corners, and it would have you on the edge of your seat, because I was on the edge of mine. So this little shootout, Tick gets out his little pistol, and I was like, what is you gonna do with that? These folks up here got rifles. But he's shooting off, is nothing happening. I don't think nobody really just getting nowhere. Then they find they shoot out the windshield. They done landed a hit. They on a little road and they just going, and the townies right there behind them. The townies right behind them and everything. So we see they just trying to get, I was like, oh my, they not gonna make it, because the truck was like literally on them, and ticking their little gun wasn't doing nothing. I said, oh, it's about to be over, y'all, it's about to be over, then this mysterious, they see a car, a silver Bentley. I was like, So they was like, they trying to beat the Bentley so that it'll be a car in between them. Okay, they did beat the Bentley. The Bentley got right behind them. The truck's behind them swinging in and out of around, trying to get around them. And I guess the Bentley's like, well, let me stop this little rat race. And everything. I'm like, let me stop this rat race and see what's going on. So the little Bentley turns around. The truck parasails over the doggone car and crash. You see, I saw one body out, the other, I said, oh, it's over with. So I think Silver Bentley done saved the day. And as the Bentley stopped and the people flew about the little truck, we see that it's a Caucasian woman, the Blathwright. I was like, okay. I was like, all right. So we coming like full circle now. She done saved the day pretty much. And Letty was driving. Let me make sure that I reiterate that. Letty was driving. She did good. But Miss Blathwright really, really, really saved the day. Okay. So and she said that she had to tell, early on, she was like, she is Letitia fucking Lewis. So, and then we get, so the mysterious woman really helped them out, but that we found out that's on the blade, right? Okay. And then, they stop, in a nearby little area at Letty's brother's house. And they get his intel on the town of Autumn. And now a little dossier on the county's, the county's top cop, sheriff, whatever he was. They include the pigeon. And he was telling about how people either encounter him or some monsters in the wood. And I was like, what? But that was all he could, you know, gather up and everything. So I was like, okay. What's really going on? I said, Artem, I don't know, me. Well, nah, after I made it through a shootout and everything, yeah, I'm going to keep going. And you all must pay attention to the music. This music is eerie throughout here. So I was like, oh, y'all is giving me this horror music. Okay. So, Letty and her brother get into this argument. Tig steps outside. Uncle George comes outside. And that's when we find out a little bit more about Montrose. Montrose is a younger sibling. He was the runner of the group. So he took the most of the abuse. And in turn, maybe that's why Tick was being abused. I don't know how that, but so I guess they say hurt people hurt people. I guess that's where that would come in at. And so they talked a little bit more. And the brother told her she can't spend another night. So the next day, the group get themselves together. They're still looking for this road to Artem, but they can't find it. So they pull over in this little wooded area and try to regroup. They hear a sound and everything. I was like, okay, now. But yeah, they regroup, hearing sounds, and you know, Tig is the sci-fi buff, so he has his theories of what the sound could be. Then we see a car come up on the Buick, and some, to my surprise, it was the doggone sheriff or the cop that they were just looking at in the dossier from Letty's brother's house. I was like, what? Why y'all try to stop there? Oh, out of all the places y'all could have stopped. It turns out, no, the music really gets. The sheriff threatens to hang them and if they don't get out of the town. They don't get out of town before dark, before sundown. And he still talking and not, you know, it was minutes ticking. I was like, what he still talking for? He already said he gonna hang on. What more you gotta say? He was stalling them. He was trying to get them. So Tick starts driving this time. He trying to drive out the country, but he can't go fast because he was gonna get a speeding ticket. Boy, everybody was sweating, including me. So he's driving, man. I'm gonna tell you all, this was like the slowest. I ain't never seen a car chase this slow. Man, when I tell y'all gotta watch this show. The car chase was so slow. It was like they just slowed it down. Slowed it all the way down. Because he couldn't go for speeding, but he had to make it. He crossed over them railroad tracks. And they saw the sunset. They had made it out of this little county. Whew. They made it in the nick of time, y'all. So they thought they was finna get a little breather. Nope. Some more doggone deputies come. And this time, these deputies, they take them into the wood. They done forced them to the ground. I was like, man. Ooh, y'all can't win. They done forced them to the ground. And they got the shotguns aimed directly on them. they was gonna pull the trigger. Then they look, doggone beast. The little beast appears, had all these doggone eyes, these tentacles. Man, they got that one man. All you see was that little arm with a flashlight. I said, oh, he done dismembered it. Oh, and one body. Boy, then you see all kind of body parts, all kind, it's just everywhere. Woo. And woo. Then guess who come walking up with a piece of, he got a chunk of, some, a part of him was missing. It was a big chunk too of flesh just off it. I was like, what was that? That's the doggone sheriff. And he just, with a straight face, monsters aren't real. I'm like, what? You're the monster. But he said, okay, he saved him and everything. So I don't know what was that about, but. And the Freeman, man, the Freemans and Letty, boy, they, woo-wee. And then, whew, they just got into some old fighting and it other stuff turning. I was like, oh, it's all kind of stuff going on. And this little part was straight horror. Straight horror. You got Letty right out. She blooded up, all kind of guts and stuff. You see fangs and they in a little building thing, pointing guns, coming out the clothes like the Hulk. Okay. After all them guns, monsters, fangs, tentacles, eyes, they survive the night. And they stumble, they bloody, they so tired and stuff. But they done made it to Arnhem. And as when they in Arnhem, it's this big old manor type house. It's really, really, really big. And they walk up to the door. I was like, looking like y'all think y'all want to go up to these folks' door? No, but as they walking up to the door, they see that silver Bentley. I said, what? So they take a look, they keep on going. And y'all, the day they knocked on this these folks' door, it opened. And somebody, a Caucasian male, that looked like a little god or something. He was just as cute as he wanted to be, though, with the blue eyes and blonde hair. Just, I guess you can say just brotherhood, the Aryan brotherhood. He just looked, he was it. He was the specimen of that. You see, talking about some, we've been expecting you, Mr. Freeman. Welcome home. I said, wait a minute. I'm so ready. Ready for this season. Y'all, it ain't gonna only get wilder. It's a mold and stuff because I'm just gonna feed in on the little story how the book went. They are, I guess Atticus is supposed to be, the descendant of a slave woman who they guess they had an affair with. With a master, with it, however that went, and what they need was the son to perform this little ritual, Sons of Adam. So I'm thinking, you know, this is the direction this is going, because this is what's leading to it. But we know we're beginning to know more about Tick's mother lineage. So I'm like, okay, according to the story, so I'm taking this what this is. Because they're just welcoming me and nobody's moving, flinching when three African-American people walk in the room. I was like, So this is the turn that it is taking. So I'm excited. And you can catch this on HBO on Sunday. Again, this was Lovecraft Country. season one, episode one, Sundown. Join me next week for episode two.